welcome everybody back to another episode of A View from the Cheap Seats. My name is Kevin McMahon, and I am your host. This is the 2018 edition. Happy New Year, everybody. It's January 1st, 2018. Last night, the Vikings defeated the Chicago Bears 23-10 to seal up a bye in the 2017-18 NFL playoffs. Just like everybody predicted, right? Now, in my last episode was titled, 10-2 Vikings are now in the driver's seat. And I hope everybody got the reference, 10-2, driver's seat. But since then, actually, the Vikings have gone 3-1. They beat the Atlanta Falcons. Then we went to the Panthers and we lost a tough game there, which was mistake riddled. Regrouped, came back home, played the Bengals, and played Chicago. Played the Bengals, beat them up something fierce. They were really no match for us. Bears last night, 23-10. I expected with John Fox being fired, or the announcement that he was going to get fired after the game, that the players would check out. They did not. Bears defense played us fairly tough. Even though we ended up running for 150 some yards, and Case Keenum passed for 189, a touchdown, no interceptions. The Bears played us like they always do, which is completely different from last year when in the last game they had totally checked out, and we drubbed them pretty good at the US Bank Stadium. But like I said, we were in the driver's seat at 10-2, and we did exactly what we planned on. We went 3-1. Now, unfortunately, that one game was the tipping point for us not getting the number one seed and guaranteeing home field advantage throughout the playoffs. That all has to do with playing like opponents. And apparently the Eagles played the Panthers and beat them, and we played the Panthers and lost, even though we, you know, played the Saints and the 49 or Saints and the Rams and the Falcons and beat all them. It really goes to like opponents, because we finished exactly the same record as the Eagles, 13-3, 5-1 division records each of us, and I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it's 7-1 conference wins. So we tied virtually everything, but that Panther loss was the one that sealed our fate. If we'd beat Detroit. I don't know which one. That was just the wrong one to play. Because I'm not sure exactly about like opponents that both the Eagles and us played. But anyway, you slice it, we lost to the wrong opponent. If the Eagles had lost, say, to the Panthers and would have beaten the Cowboys, then we would have been in the driver's seat. But that's just not the way it worked. And in case sera. Now, the biggest question on everybody's mind is, who do we want to play? I know I got asked that by a DM earlier today. I'm not sure why he chose to DM me instead of just putting it on the open, but that's fine. Do I want to play the Panthers? Do I want to play the Saints? Do I want to play the Rams? Each one poses a unique challenge to the Vikings. I will say this. We beat, obviously, the Rams and the Saints. And we also beat the Falcons too, Seb, but that's neither here nor there. We lost to the Panthers. I think we have a better shot at beating the Panthers than we do the Rams or the Saints. And the reason I say that is, I mean, the Saints are a different team than we played week one of this season. We played them, we beat them, we drubbed them. Everybody said their defense is the same as it was last year, and then they turned everything around. They dumped Adrian Peterson, and they brought in a couple of – or the guys that were sitting on the bench while Adrian played started playing, and man, are they good. That's their double-headed rushing attack. And Kamara was playing exceptionally well. And of course, you have Drew Brees, who is extremely dangerous. And I don't care if you are up 14 points with 2 minutes left in the game. The man can come back. So do I want to play him? Not on your life do I want to play him. Do I think we can beat him? Sure. But it ain't going to be easy. The Rams, I mean, we played them. We beat them soundly. Jared got to Jared Goff a lot, rattled the crap out of him. But they played us, and they know us, and that's dangerous. You can say that, you know, you can say, well, we beat them before. Well, that's fine. This is the NFL. This isn't baseball. You know, well, even in baseball and basketball, it's why they play a three-game series. You know, this one guy wins two out of three. You play a person twice, and it might go 50-50. You just got lucky on that one day. They weren't playing the best. They had key players injured, whatever. Todd Gurley is very close to the MVP of the season. Jared Goff, I mean, that offense has scored in the 30 points every single game, except for the game we played them when we held them to 7. But that doesn't mean that that's going to happen again. I've seen the Vikings in my history play a team that they've beaten and lose soundly. I mean, just think about it. It happens all the time, even in our division, all the time. You know, Packers beat us one game, we win the other. Lions beat us one game, we win the other, or vice versa. Chicago Bears. I mean, that's why you play division games, you know, and that's why you play two of each. A lot of times you just split. Most times you split with them. But the winners end up kind of winning the majority. Now, we split with Detroit this year. That's why we only went 5-1 in our division instead of 6-0. They caught us at a good time, you know. So can the Rams beat us? Yeah, they can. They have a high powered offense, and their defense is no slouch. Panthers, I've never liked Cam Newton. That team is a one man show right now. And he really did beat us in that last game. That one rush at the end of the game, Khalil's hold aside, allowed that big long run by Newton, and then allowed him to score the touchdown at the end of the game. Now we did allow that big long run to start the game, and that was more of an anomaly than how we truly play in a game. I think we could have the Panthers' number. That's who I would want to play in this divisional round if I had my choice. I would least like to play the Saints, and I guess this in the second place I'd take the Rams. But this isn't going to be a pushover. But here's the deal. This is the NFL playoffs. You are playing the best of the best. And the best team gets hot and plays its best at the right time. I mean, let's look at the Giants several years ago and Eli Manning. Eli Manning, I never thought was a great quarterback. He got hot at the right time. Right in the playoffs, he started getting hot, and he played lights out through the playoffs and into the Super Bowl. And then the next year, he was back to throwing interceptions again. And losing the first five, I mean, and that's the way he did it both the Super Bowl winning times. They just got hot at the right time. Now, the Vikings have been steady all year long. And our, you know, in the last 10 games, 11 games, you know, our one game, we were uncharacteristically making mistakes. You know, throw the interception, one of the first passes of that by Keenum. That didn't start the game off right. Defense is missing tackles, and then we let that long 60-some yard touchdown run. Allowing Cam Newton to run free. That's just uncharacteristic, and it's just that was a kind of a waking point to go, okay, time to, you know, let's get back to doing our individual jobs, work as a team. I don't want to be farming your land over here. I'll take care of my land. You take care of your land, and together we'll grow a great crop. And that's the way Zimmer has built this team. You start trying to do somebody else's job, that's what happens. And that's pretty much what happened in that Panthers game. So that's why the Vikings have been playing fairly solid ball for 10 of 11 weeks now. Case Keenum has been fairly mistake-free. That game, he ended up throwing two interceptions. It's just uncharacteristic. You know, Case Keenum ended the year with 22 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. That's a hell of an effort by a journeyman, a backup quarterback, who is also, you know, now a starter in the NFL. I don't care any way you slice it. The man's going to get paid by either the Vikings or some other team. His ship has come in, regardless of how he does in these playoffs. But the playoffs will give him experience, and teams will like that. And do I see him having an epic collapse? No, I don't. One of the things, though, that has bothered me, and I will say this, in the last 4 weeks, if you've noticed, we've taken a dip on our offensive output. And I think that really all relates to the offensive line. Now, if you've noticed, starting with the Panther game, we had three people out of position, you know, because of injury or whatever. And we didn't have our starters in there. And, you know, they couldn't protect Keenum. He got sacked 6 times in that game. And ever since then, ever since that game, our offensive line, we've had a guy out here, a guy out there, Easton Keen back. And I'm not sure if he was 100% healthy, because I mean, he was making mistakes, penalties kill us on our drives. You know how many times our drive got killed in the last 3 weeks because of a penalty? You know, you pass for a long pass, called back, and then you're back 10 yards. So now you're second and 25, and you're trying to make up that kind of ground. You know, Keenum's good, but he's not that good. You know, he's completing passes on his third downs, but it's third and 14, and he's completing it for 10. Punt, can't do that. Can't make mistakes like that. Can't have drops, can't have mistakes. But at least Keenum is not in, and if they get penalty, he's not forcing the ball to try to get it somewhere where it just won't go. And that's also helped us win games. But that's something to be a little concerned about. But my God, this bye was important to have, because that will help. We can get guys back healthy. We can get Elfline back healthy, which will move Berger back to guard, which will move Remmers back to right tackle. I found it a bit odd that instead of leaving Remmers at right tackle, they didn't. They moved him over to guard. I mean, Isadora, I thought, has played well, and I don't know why they just didn't leave Remmers at right tackle, because he was outmatched this last game versus the Bears. He's just not used. He's used to fast guys that are a little smaller on the outside. He's not used to those big, beefy defensive tackles in the middle, and he was getting pushed around, and that's why we were really sluggish in the middle of the game there. I mean, it was like, Jesus Christ, you know, Keenum was getting just pressured left and right, and he was doing his best, but it was just that zero blitz was killing us. So that's something to look for. Hopefully we can get back healthy. They used a few jumbo packages. That's what Charles Davis kept. And I hate that guy. But anyways, his voice is like nails on a chalkboard, because he just doesn't shut up. I mean, he's knowledgeable, but just let the freaking game play, man. You know, sometimes you don't have to talk every single moment of every single game. But anyways, he was talking about the jumbo package, and honestly, it really wasn't a jumbo package. What it was we need somebody to put in relief of Kyle Rudolph, because Kyle's been nursing an ankle injury for the last 3 weeks, and he needed a break. He couldn't do it. So these 2 weeks are going to be critical for him to get in there. But anyways, that jumbo package, they put Avante Collins in there, and as a blocker, and that actually worked out well. But normally Rudolph would be in that position and he would be blocking. So instead of Rudolph in there, they had Avante Collins in there, playing basically a tight end and an eligible receiver. And they have to call it that because of his number. I think they have to check in with the refs as an eligible receiver because of their jersey number. Go figure. I don't know all the rules. Sorry. I just love to watch football. Especially Viking football, winning Viking football. So we've got a couple of decisions coming up for the Vikings. Number one is we have 0 out of 4 quarterbacks, 0 of them are signed for 2018. Now, does that mean that we're not going to get any of them back? No, that's really not what it means. You know, Kyle Slaughter, who's the 4th quarterback right now, he's a restricted free agent. So essentially he's not going anywhere. Vikings will give him a restricted tendered offer, a tendered offer that he'll either have to sign or not, the minimum for 2018. Now there's two other options for the other quarterback, some of the other quarterbacks, two of the three. One is the franchise tag. The other one is the transition tag. And then there's also an exclusive franchise tag. Exclusive franchise tag means you're playing for us and nowhere else, nobody else. And this is how much you're getting paid, and that's a lot of money. The other one is the franchise, plain franchise tag says, you know, we're going to pay you, you know, this set fee for 2018. And if any team wants to sign you for more, they owe us, I think it's a number one draft pick. And then there, you know, like I said, and then there's the transition tag. And that means that the Vikings have a right to match any offer that that quarterback or player, you can use this on any, will get. In other words, you know, you put the transition tag on, what's his name, Case Keenum, and somebody comes in and says, you know, we're going to pay Case $18 million. And if the Vikings match that $18 million for X number of years or however it works, or beat it, and then he has to sign with the Vikings. If not, if the Vikings choose not to do anything, well, then he just goes. Then he can just leave and go with the other. But it gives the Vikings that option. You know, what is the best thing to do for the Vikings as far as a quarterback is concerned? You got Sam Bradford. Don't know what his knees are like. Always had, you know, he had one good year in I don't know how many years healthy, and that was last year, 2016. So what do you know, is he going to get big offers from anybody? I probably doubt it, because everybody's going to be gun shy on him. This was his year to get paid, and it just didn't work out for him. So everybody's going to be pretty gun-shy about signing him to any kind of long-term lucrative deal. So that might be one guy that you can get fairly inexpensively to compete. Excuse me. I'm sitting here drinking rum and Cokes on New Year's, so you have to bear with me. Teddy Bridgewater. Now, he hasn't thrown a, well, completed pass in over 2 years. And the one, he did complete a pass. It was just to the wrong team last week or 2 weeks ago versus the Bengals. So teams don't know what they have in Bridgewater, what there is in Bridgewater. Even the Vikings don't know what they have in Bridgewater. Does he look good in practice? Well, yeah, but, you know, Teddy's always looked okay in practice. The problem is, I don't think he's looked great in games, you know, and everybody is hoping for that jump. Well, you know, hope in one hand and shit in the other and see which one fills first. So what do you do with him? Is that a guy that you can kind of get fairly cheap to stick around? I'm not exactly sure. You know, I'm sure some team will try to, you know, if he's available, try to get him on the cheap. You know, I know the Vikings love the kid as a person. You know, I don't know what they think about him anymore as a viable quarterback going forward. And then you have Case Keenum, the guy that just led your team to a 13-3 record. You know, I think he won 11 of them himself. Keenum himself went 11-3. It might have been 12-3 if he would have started that Bears game, but since Bradford started and Keenum finished it, they give that win to Sam. So Sam went 2-0 this year. Even though I think we were only up by 3 points or something like that at the time, but you know. What do you have in Keenum? Is this a Nick Foles flash in the pan type season for his Keenum? He just playing out of his butt because for that 1 year and then he'll be done? Or is this a Kurt Warner type, you know, finally hitting his stride and you better get him under contract because he can play for you for the next, you know, 6-7 years and at a high level? You know, I'm glad I don't wear the GM robe. I'll be honest with you. This is going to be one of those decisions that are going to make or break a GM's job. Seriously. And I'm glad that's not me. I'm glad I'm not the guy making that choice. I'm not a Teddy fan. Everybody's pretty much aware of that. So I would sign back Sam and Keenum and let Teddy go on his merry way. Because honestly, you don't even know about Teddy's knee this year. Is it going to be okay or not in the future? Or is his other knee going to pop out and do something because he's got weak knees? I don't know. You know, that was a freak thing, but was it a freak thing because he's predisposed for it? I don't know. But again, he hasn't thrown a ball in 2 years. You don't know what he's got in him. Is he going to be gun shy? He looked jumpy, but you know, he needs the reps too. I don't know. If it were me, I'd let him walk. I'd let him walk. I'd sign Bradford and Keenum and let them battle it out for the starting job in 2018, and then have Slaughter as number three. I know they really like Slaughter, and God only knows, maybe he can compete for the starting role eventually too, and maybe he can be the future. Maybe he's the diamond in the rough we're looking for. But again, and like I've said before, for many times, many of you have commented, I am a big proponent of keep drafting a quarterback every single year until you find that diamond. And then keep doing it, just like the Patriots do. They just keep drafting guys late, you know. And you find that diamond in the rough. You don't have to draft them in the first and second rounds. You can draft them in the fifth and sixth. I mean, you think Bill Belichick thought Tom Brady was going to be that guy? If he did, he's the biggest idiot in the world for letting him get down to round six. They got lucky. It was called a diamond in the rough. Same with Russell Wilson, third round. Nobody thought that. You know, they thought maybe they'd make a good backup someday. But that's what you're looking for in a quarter, and you got to keep drafting. And the Vikings have been terrible. They don't like to spend draft picks on quarterbacks, and I don't know why. Even late round, it's like seventh round. Well, let's draft a quarterback. One of your 2 6-round picks, Rick. Draft a quarterback, but he doesn't do that. He waits till free agency, and he tries to get undrafted free agents to come in. And by then, all the guys that you know can be good are usually taking Case Keenum notwithstanding, obviously, because he was one of those guys, but he wasn't one of our picks, obviously. He was one of the Texans picks years ago, and he wasn't a pick. He was an undrafted free agent, but they made the call to get him to come in, but he didn't pay. It was one of those quarterbacks that just is going to take longer to develop. He set every record in the book in Houston, but he just doesn't have that strong arm, and that's what teams shied away from him. And you can see it. He doesn't have the strongest arm. He's got just as strong as arm as Teddy, but he doesn't have a very strong arm. But neither did Joe Montana, you know? And like I said, you just never know where you're going to find that guy. That's what my plan would be, is to just keep drafting a quarterback, you know, draft a guy late, have him compete with Slaughter for that number three spot. If he, if you think something of him, put him on the practice squad. You know, there's so many people that want Slaughter. That, you know, you got to get him back next year. So I think he's on the team next year because he's a restricted free agent. But that would be my two choices, would be Sam Bradford and Case Keenum. Let them battle it out for the starting job and let Teddy walk. Cut bait. You know, that's my choice. The next issue is our offensive coordinator has done a fantastic job this year turning around this offense, which was ranked 28th in the league in 2016. I think it was 30th the year before that. Norv just didn't do a very good job here at all. Thank God he quit, I'll be honest with you, because I don't think Zimmer's the type of guy that fires coaches. But thank God he did. And Pat Shurmur surprised the hell out of me and to show me what he had, because he is bending everything that he has to the talent that we have. And he doesn't bend it just to Case Keenum. He's bending it to our receivers, to their strengths and weaknesses, to our tight ends, to their strengths and weaknesses, to our offensive line, to their strengths and weaknesses, and to our running backs, to their strengths and weaknesses. Although I will say it scratches my head that they run McKinnon between the tackles at any given time. But I guess you got to keep them guessing when McKinnon's in the game. So you just keep trying to run between the tackles. McKinnon sucks between tackles, generally speaking. Outside, great. Screens, great. Keep it going. But he has really turned this thing around, and the NFL has taken notice. And today, I think we're up to five coaches that have gotten fired. Five head coaches in the NFL got fired after yesterday. Jack Del Rio being one, Jim Caldwell from the Lions being another one, John Fox being another one, Chuck Pagano being another one, and Bruce Arians quit, or, well, retired, I should say. He retired. Did it on his own terms. Good for him. So, essentially, we have five vacancies right now, five or six, somewhere around there. And, you know, they're going to be looking, and this bye week gives them the opportunity to interview. And Pat Shurmur is a hot commodity now for a head coaching job, which sucks because finding a good offensive coordinator that works really well with your quarterback, and that the quarterbacks feel comfortable learning, you know, they know the system, you know, bringing in another OC is just, it's a killer. Just ask Oakland, you know, what happens when their OC takes off. Just ask Atlanta what happens when their offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan, took off. You could see immediately the difference in the Atlanta offense between 2016 and 2017. And they roughly have the same players. It's just there's a different scheme. And they're not on the same page. It's just not the same team. Yes, they made the playoffs, but by the skin of their chinny chin chin. So that's the last thing I want to see is Pat Shurmur leave for a head coaching job. Lions have asked to interview him. Arizona has asked to interview him. Now, Zimmer said today that they're requiring that teams come to Minnesota to interview him. In other words, so Shurmur doesn't have to take away all this time traveling to go to these interviews. And that's a good thing. But still, it puts Shurmur's mind in a different mode. You know, it's looking forward. And then what if they offer him a job? Now he's going to be thinking about, you know, his next job and planning for that rather than just concentrating on his job. I hate this part of it. So losing your offensive coordinator who has done well, works well with your quarterback, works well with all position groups is not what you want to see. And we really don't have an offensive coordinator in the waiting, ready to take the reins like we did when Norv left. Tony Sperano is not that guy. He was an offensive coordinator. He was head coach once, but he was an offensive coordinator for 1 year with the Jets, and they were 28th ranked offense. And he was fired. That's not the guy you want being your offensive coordinator. Kevin Stefanski has never been an offensive coordinator. So what do you do? Jim Caldwell got fired. Will he be willing to come in? Now that's a guy that I actually like. He'd be a good offensive coordinator, I think. Players still have to get to know him and whatnot, but and I don't know if Zimmer has a decent relationship with Caldwell. They are not buddy-buddy. I do know that, but, you know, would he be willing to come in and be OC? I don't know. I don't have a clue. The other option is to scour the ranks of the college head coaches, or offensive coordinators for that matter, to see if any one of those up-and-comers are ready to take the jump to the NFL. Sometimes you have to look in that other barrel, you know, for the next latest and greatest head coaches that are working with a lot of young kids and a lot of young little systems and know the systems that all these young kids are used to now. That's always good to have. So anyways, I'm going to be sad if Norv leaves, or I mean, if Pat Shurmur leaves. I don't want it to happen, but I think it's kind of inevitable, especially with as many positions that are open in the NFL as there is. But, we've got a good, solid team here in Minnesota. For the first time in the NFL history, the team that's hosting the Super Bowl this year has got the best record in the NFL. We're tied. There's four teams tied with the same. That's never happened before. We got We got the best record out of any team that has ever hosted a Super Bowl.
That bodes well for us.
No team, obviously, has ever played in the game that they've hosted. Wouldn't that be a feather in the cap? Now, I saw an interview with Kyle Rudolph today, and he reiterated my sentiments exactly. It's like when you heard that that Minnesota was interested in hosting the Super Bowl, and we actually got it. I don't know if there was a fan or a player or a coach that didn't dream about playing a Super Bowl in our own stadium. I mean, who among you wouldn't dream that? We've got a team that can win this. We do. I'm not, you know, is there a couple tough games up ahead of us? Absolutely. Is there a team I'm deathly afraid of playing? No, not one. Not even the Patriots, who have earned all the respect in the world defending Super Bowl champions. I am not afraid to play them, especially this year. Not a bit. I don't think they've faced a team like the Vikings. I just don't. You're not going to rattle Tom Brady, I'll tell you that. So it'll have to be played like we've been playing. Smart on the back end, or with great coverage, run stopping, and just playing smart on offense and just moving the chains, running it down their throat. Fast, short, fast, smart passes. You know, nothing, you know, don't try to win it all right away. You saw what happened in 2016 when somebody tried to win it all against the Patriots. What happened to that? 28-3, and Patriots said, okay, you done now? And then they came roaring back and won it. So, but this ain't the 2016 Atlanta Falcons defense either. I'm really proud of this team. Super proud to be a fan. Now, the name of this podcast is Reach Out and Touch Faith. And as a fan of, 47 years, somewhere around there, 46, 47 years, it's ingrained in us to expect collapse. It just is. And sometimes you just have to reach out and touch and have faith in what this team can accomplish. And just have faith in our coach, just have faith in our players, and just enjoy the ride. I honestly think this could be something special. Anyways, thanks a lot for listening. It's been, looks like a little bit over a half an hour. I was expecting for this to run a little bit longer, but 2 weeks, January 14th, 3:40 p.m. is kickoff. I look forward to that game. Until then, skull.